Good afternoon. Thank you for being here to our first Shack meeting. I'm Ginger Robbins, and I'll be facilitating the meeting today. In accordance with our law, the Shack meeting is being recorded and will be posted on our website. The official time is 4:02. Members of our Shack committee include Colby Lee, Misty Davis, Jackson Morris, Janet Womack, Ginger Robbins, Danielle Queen, Stacy McGinnis, Megan Webb, Josh Eubanks, and Misty Hayes. And today we have a guest, Daisy Sanchez, who is the school counselor. You'll notice that you have an agenda. This agenda was posted in accordance with the open meetings record. And topics that we'll be talking about today include legal updates, curriculum, our counseling programs, screenings, required trainings, safety and security, nutrition, which is a food service overview, our counseling programs again, and then health and fitness. So I will start with the first legal update, which was House Bill 114. I don't know if y'all are familiar with that, but this was the biggie this year in that out of the legislative session, they came and said any student found to be in possession of, using, distributing any e-cigarette or vaping device mandatorily must be placed in an alternative educational setting. We call it DAEP. And that's new. Smoking used to be the thing that would kind of get you over there, you know, or alcohol offense. Now they treat all alcohol and vaping as the same type of offense. So with that said, the district has done some measures to help with that. One is we installed Verkada sensors in the school bathrooms, and they detect not just motion, but air quality. They have gone off 3 times. It did lead to the detection of 1 vape, and it also led to the detection of cleaning supplies yesterday. So, you know, there's that. But that is an update that I think is pretty significant. And to date, Braun ISD has had 2 students disciplined for possession of vapes on campus, and those students are currently completing an assignment at AEP. It's discretionary on the number of days that you're assigned to AEP. A standard placement is 30 days. And then the way ours is set up, we are able to adjust it to where you could earn time out of there early and get out as early as 20 days. Y'all have questions about that? No questions about that? The AEP process over there, it is housed off campus. It's in the old art building, I believe is what it was called. It's now the community weight room. We kept the community weight room open to the public, but not between 7:30 and 4. So you can still use it if you're a community member. Our students have a pretty regimented schedule. They do show up at 8:15. Which is 15 minutes after the start of the regular campus school day, and they leave at 3:20, which is a little bit before the end of the regular school day.
Now, I'm sorry, are you talking about
AEP? Our AEP system.
Okay.
AEP, I started with, we have 2 students currently over in AEP right now for vape-related offenses.
Yes, I think.
I'm trying to think what else. We are not having to staff that with any outside help. We're able to handle that from within. By the way, the schedule is designed. We have staff over there of a morning. We have our Spanish teachers over there of a morning, so if the students have Spanish, they still have that help. We have a math teacher that serves. We have 2 history teachers that serve. And then, of course, I try to go over there every day at least at one point or another. At the end of the 10 days, we have a 10-day review. We go through and check and make sure that they're completing all their assignments, that the assignment log is complete all day, and that we have a parent check-in back and forth with their folder every day. So kind of the AEP rundown and overview of that.
Okay, if you look at the agenda, the other thing on there I have is the safe storage of firearms. Also, it came out of the last session. We had to share with the public a parent letter that talks about Texas law now requires school districts to distribute information to parents and guardians about safe storage of firearms. So we copied the state letter, put our letterhead on it, and we shared it via Dojo. It's posted on the website. And I know it did go home with the 3-week progress slips of all the elementary. And then it'll be included with the secondary report cards on Wednesday. So we are in compliance with the legislative updates. Okay, would you like to give us a nutrition food service overview?
Sure, there's really not much to say, not much has changed. They've changed some of the salt things, but that didn't really, that more pertains to the people who make it. We just have to make sure they're following it. I know you said something about talking about
food allergies?
Any
food allergies?
We do have food allergies. There's not very many. There's a couple with peanut butter allergies, and we just make sure they don't. The teachers that help them with breakfast know that they cannot have the peanut butter. We only have a couple other minor ones that aren't life-threatening, and the people who work in the cafeteria, the helpers and stuff, know too, in case it slips by us or whatever, so there's more than just us that know. Mainly, I think that may be pineapple and the red dye. And we are fixing to go through our, actually going through our,
Your review.
It started today.
Okay.
We had our official meeting, so.
Do you know how long that'll last?
It lasts through October, maybe some into November, and then they will actually come out and be on campus November 29th.
Okay.
As of right now.
Did they ever, we talked about it. You know, better elected, because here's my reason I'm bringing up, because it might not be an ambulance here in the month.
I do not know if they ever got EpiPens. Do you know if the school ever got an EpiPen?
That's what it was brought up for, was allergies.
We do have an EpiPen in the secondary office.
Okay.
With Callie, there's one. Is there supposed to be another in the elementary side?
I just know that we talked throughout the last 2 years. We've talked about one, and with the chances getting slimmer if there actually be an ambulance in town, it might be a little more important.
So. I'll put that we want to verify that there are EpiPens on campus, preferably in both offices.
Can you use it on a kid that doesn't have a prescription for it?
Oh, yeah, you can use it on anybody.
Oh, yeah, there's not a prescription for it.
It's already
my daughter had a prescription for an EpiPen.
No, some people do it. If you know they have an allergy, yeah, they do. But it's a preset dose. And just don't do it in your thumb.
Okay. Depends in the school offices.
But I would think that if a child had that bad an allergy, they'd have their own I would hope they'd have their own pen.
Mm-hmm. They may not bring them. They're a little expensive.
Oh, yeah. Well, $500. And they expire
depending on your insurance.
Thank you, Lee.
Well, I'm just thinking about when the ambulance bought them.
Yeah, no.
And we seldom use them and throw them in the trash.
That it?
That's it.
That's good. Okay. Thank you. Next, on the agenda says curriculum. The only thing that I really need to report here is that the 23-24 Bront ISD curriculum was approved by the school board last year on April 12th, 2023. there has not been an update as far as it comes to our wanting to teach sex education or anything like that here. It was voted on in one of the previous SHAC meetings that we would not be addressing that. So unless it's brought up or there's a new need, we are still just maintaining from a previous record. Any discussion on that? Okay, well, we're still in compliance with that. Next, I'm going to turn it over to Ms. Sanchez, who's going to talk about our counseling programs.
All right, I've got a couple of handouts for you all. Last year was the first year that we had access to what is called, first, it's an acronym, TCHAT. It is Texas, I'm going to have to read it because it's...
Texas Child Mental Health
Thank
Care.
You. That's it.
I don't know what's going on.
Texas Child Health Access Through Telemedicine is the TCHAT. And what this is if we have a student who is in need of counseling with a therapist, we have access to that. Their parents can, you know, say yes, they would want that for their child. It is all done. It is done with a licensed professional counselor. It is done over Zoom, over a Zoom call. And there's no charge is the best part. And they will meet with the student for six weeks, six times. So it's just a great program because our parents who see that need for their kids can get them in really quick to visit with somebody and they don't have to go anywhere. The program provided us with the iPad and everything we need. So they have been very, very good for it. I think we had about four kids last year who took advantage of it. And it is all, I don't know what goes on in it, but I just set it up for them. And so it really is a good program. So just so y'all know that that's out there, because of course we don't have that readily available. A school counselor can do brief, limited counseling, but it's brief. And so if somebody is struggling with, you know, whatever the situation, you know, may be, I can meet with them for just a few times, you know, typically about four times. And then if that hasn't been enough, then they need a referral to a licensed therapist. And so this is a great option for us.
Is this during school?
During school hours, which really helps. It's usually about a 45-minute visit.
Okay, so.
Mm-hmm. So it's a great service for us.
So do you tell the parents the student's doing that?
No. The student, it has to have student permission. Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry, student permission, parent permission.
Oh, okay.
Yes. When it's, a school counselor will meet with the student, mm-hmm, without having to have a parent permission, because I'm not a therapist. Right. You know, I'm just, you know, talking to him about getting along or, you know, setting some goals and, you know, that kind of stuff. When it goes beyond that, there is parent permission, and to see a licensed therapist, a parent needs to sign off on it. And so that program, the very first meeting, the parent is actually in on that meeting.
Okay.
And then the parent is excused. And then the student can visit with it. But it's a great resource for us. Everything I have heard in the past is that it takes a long time to get into somebody. Both either Abilene or San Angelo takes a long time. So it's a good resource for us to have. That other little handout is a program called Youth Aware of Mental Health. And we were able to do this last year. It is, again, these are both through Texas Tech. And they send people out and they just have these little sessions with the classes. They talk about, and you can see their topics here in it. They talk about what is mental health and self-help and stress and how to handle stress and who you can ask for advice and, you know, if your friend is asking you for advice, you know, how you can help your friend. And then they do talk about, depression and suicidal thoughts and, you know, where you can go for help. And, you know, and so it is very, they do role playing. I have not sat in those. They ask that school people, teachers, not sit in there so that the students will
you know, visit with them. I don't know, did you do it last year in the YAM? You think it was, it, I know some kids, we decided not to do it with the older kids because there was a lot of, I guess, kind of maybe not taking it seriously or whatever. But I, do you think it was, it's hard to guess for the older kids, but I mean, do you think anybody felt like it was good or possibly, or were they just kind of like, eh, this is dumb?
I think it was more of an excuse to get out of the class.
Oh.
Yeah, but you got to remember, there might be one kid that
well, and the thing
kids
is,
kids that are having trouble aren't. They're not out here telling everybody.
Oh, right. No, heavens no. But they'll know, you know, should it come up,
right,
you know, later yeah. on. So anyway, it is, you know, it doesn't get in the weeds. It doesn't, it isn't, you know, any real controversial topics. It is not like that. It's really just, right. you know, helping, you know, people just kind of think about it and you know, and kind of take care of themselves. The other things on here, Major Clarity is a great program that we have started using this year. It is a career exploration thing, and so they go on. This is about sixth grade on up. I haven't done it with the sixth graders yet, but I will. Our older kids are using it. You go through and you do this little interest survey, and based on that, it'll suggest, you know, some careers saying you might be interested in this, and then there's all these videos they can watch. There's another section in it they can go through, and they can, every university from the United States is in there, and you can enter the school and see what their acceptance rate is and how much it costs to go there and what they offer and all those things. And then there's a whole other section with all these scholarships that are all over the United States that you can go in there and look at. And so it's just a great program. And so we are making use of that during that LEAP class. On Wednesdays is our Major Clarity Day. And so every Wednesday they're going in there and you know, working in it. The health career explorations, Shannon contacted us, letting us know that they had the VR goggles, the virtual reality goggles. And of course, you know, their focus is health careers because that's what they're trying to build. But they have come out, they were out here last week, worked with our seventh graders. Today they were here with the eighth graders. And it is, both Miss Isler and I put them on and did it this week. It is really, really cool. If you've never done anything gaming or anything with virtual reality, it's really, really neat. And so the kids actually, it's responding to a car accident. It is a knee surgery, a knee replacement surgery, and an ER visit. And so on the knee replacement surgery, one of our seventh graders was, he was looking at it and he's like, oh, I mean, just, because it is very realistic. And you're picking up the, you're handing the doctor, you know, what they need, and you actually saw on the knee, you know, and so when you're sawing the knee, blood is splattering everywhere.
Oh my God.
I mean, it's really something, but it's got a whole slew of careers because it's Shannon who brought it, you know, their focus is there, but she says she'll come back in the spring and do other careers. Their solar panels is one of the ones to look on there. The wind turbines is, you know, one that you can look on there. She says they have to be real careful when they're on the wind turbines because it actually has you way up here and you feel like, you know, if you're scared of heights, it definitely has you up there. So it's been really, really cool. So we'll continue to do that. And then this week on Monday, we did take our sophomores, juniors, and seniors to TSTC in Sweetwater. There was a college career fair there. And there were vocational schools, junior colleges, four-year universities there, you know, for kids to just see and get their information and all that good stuff. So we have been very busy. We've accomplished a lot in just a few weeks of school, and we'll continue to. So,
how did you enjoy the college and career fair?
I thought it was fun.
Yeah.
Just to look around. I wish there was more there.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
It wasn't a mind selection.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean?
There were
like more colleges there. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And that's very typical. I think where you go, you get regional representation.
Yes.
Some of the schools there, I know Texas Tech, Midwestern State, Tarleton, Mary Hardin Baylor. Where else did we see? Of course,
well, Arden Simmons, ACU, McMurray, mm-hmm. UT,
mm-hmm.
TSTC was there.
I'm trying to remember what else. The Midland College, the Midland College that feeds into the engineering program that feeds into A&M was there. And we've got a Bronx student in that program now. So yeah, there was a bunch.
It was a great, I think it was a great opportunity for us to at least take the trip from Bront to Sweetwater, just so they could see. It's a quick trip. You know, if you were a commuter, it doesn't take that long. And that's good for a lot of kids that don't want to leave and go very far from home. Mm-hmm. And I do know that there were two kids that went that had specifically said, well, I don't want to go very far because I've already got a job lined up here.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
You know, we were talking to him. And that's a real possibility maybe mm-hmm. for that student. Mm-hmm. But then we have others like you that are kind of hoping for something a little further away. So we'll just keep working. We'll keep working and looking to see if we can find another career college fair with some more representation. Mm-hmm. Any other schools you're thinking of that you wish we could go find out more about? Mm-hmm. Really? Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Sanchez.
Man, that was always the best.
What's that?
They used to have a career. They used to have one here. It was always fun. Uh-huh. Forgot to get out of class, you know.
But well, it was a good career fair.
It was.
Yeah, it was good. I remember before I graduated, somebody, I think Howard College, they had a heavy equipment operator, a simulation thing in a trailer.
Oh,
and you could get on there and run it. Oh, man, I thought that was cool.
That's pretty interesting.
I wonder why.
We did have that set. There was a program we were working on, have been working on, and that is a goal set for next year, is to do a career fair.
It's
hard to get people out, and it's, you know, so it certainly wouldn't be an every year thing, but, you know, just for our kids to at least, you know, once see, through high school,
yeah. mm-hmm.
you know, go through it once or twice, yeah, for sure.
Okay. Next on the agenda, it says health and fitness. Misty Davis is a member, but she is in after school athletics right now. So she gave me her report. So I'm going to read it. Please stop and ask questions as we go. Coach Davis says that her program is pre-K through sixth grade PE. She says that pretty much all day we play, but of course we're learning and working out. She says, we do stretches. We learn how to run 1 to 2 laps, especially with our youngest students. We take pre-K to the playground until the weather turns cold. First through fifth grade PE, they have what's called Muscle Monday. And it's exercise stations working on all different muscle groups. She says, we also learn names of muscles and what they do. We have teamwork Tuesdays and Thursdays where they either play an organized team game or they work on a specific drill that coincides with junior high and high school sports. She says, we also learn a lot about teamwork and sportsmanship. They have wings on Wednesdays, and the students run and walk on the track, and she keeps up with their total miles. Then they have what's called Fun Friday, and the students get to play what they choose. And she likes this because she says, I also get to give out shoe ring beads for their miles. I remember my kiddo last year, he loved collecting those. Mm-hmm. Then she says, students that receive marks for the week may sit out for a certain amount of time. She also went on to say that one of the funnest things they're doing this year is they're learning a short dance each week, and then a group gets to perform it at the pep rallies. That's been really cute. So 1 week they did the chicken dance.
Oh, yeah.
They did the Macarena. What else did we do? This week they did the Hokey Pokey. So that's been cute. I've been walking by and I see them in there learning to do the dances. And so I think that's a lot of fun. Coach Davis says that she treats sixth grade PE very much like pre-athletics. Again, they do the Muscle Monday type things. They're running at the track, and they're really focused in working on the sport of the season. She utilizes an elementary health textbook where she pulls things from every now and then. She wants to be sure and mention that this year she's excited to again do the Hoops for Heart fundraiser for the American Heart Association, and that'll be sometime during the second semester. So that is her update on PE. Any questions or comments? No? Okay. Screenings. It says screenings, vision, hearing, spinal. I'm going to say this wrong. Acanthesis.
That was I've that. Never known. That's the deal where they check for that dark line yes. back here that is potentially pre-diabetes.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that we did that here.
Yep, and it's usually back down on the neck.
Mm-hmm. She says those are already scheduled for October 4th and 5th, and we have rescans set for October the 18th. So that is good to go. The required trainings. Okay, so every year we are responsible, the staff, for completing certain trainings. All staff members have completed the required civil rights training, as well as the annual, we call them EduHero trainings. It's an online module where we go online. The required trainings are FERPA. Everybody knows what FERPA is. FERPA is the keep things confidential.
The something okay. Education okay. Rights Act.
Mm-hmm. The federal. Act. It's a federal education rights and protection act mm-hmm. where
HIPAA we don't. Kinda.
Yes. We don't discuss grades. You know, we don't share confidential in public confidential information. So we completed FERPA and PPRA in schools. We completed bullying prevention and intervention. We completed suicide awareness and prevention, teen dating violence for educators, cyberbullying, David's Law, the bloodborne pathogens refresher. We talked about Title IX in schools, child maltreatment responsibilities, and human trafficking awareness. So those are online modules. You go through at your own pace. Ever so often, they have a little quick check. And then when you've completed all of those, it gives you a quiz. You must make a 70 or above, or you get to do the whole thing again.
And that goes in your personnel file
mm-hmm.
or something?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The human traffic one's rough.
It is. It is.
The same ones. Mm-hmm. Probably similar.
So many.
I bet so.
Yeah, so many. Mm-hmm.
I came from another district, and we also used EduHero, and it was the same mm-hmm. training modules. And there really is good information yes. that you can get from them.
Can I do it?
I can check.
I mean, you know, is it?
Mm-hmm. It's not something that you couldn't do. I would think it has to do with getting login in an account and adding. So I can check into that. Uh-huh. Okay. Safety and security. As y'all know, safety and security is a big deal. That's really one of our top priorities, clearly with the climate that we have. As per TEA requirements on safety and security for all school districts, we are directed to keep all outside, all exterior doors locked and latched at all times. We complete a weekly door sweep. We have an ongoing, Mr. Seiler, Ms. Englert, and I have an ongoing spreadsheet with specific dates, and we take turns checking, so it's not always Monday morning at 9 o'clock. I will say that last week I checked it on a Friday at 3, you know. One week we didn't have anything, but this each time we usually have one or two things, and we record it with Fidelity. We did a check during the volleyball tournament, the showdown, because we thought that would be a good chance to really check our procedures. And we noticed that one of the doors had stuck. It was locked, but it didn't pull to and latch. Last week, all of our exterior doors were latched and locked, but the gate was open. And so that exposes the playground because there's no longer a back gate on there. And so these really are good for us. We don't know when we will be checked by the state or the regional mm-hmm. service center, but we have a weekly, it's called SSSP meeting, every Friday morning at 9 o'clock. and we talk about whether we have any student concerns or whether we have any facility concerns. So we mention it each time. And I think it's just a good practice for us to always talk about what we're checking and what we see.
Was
far,
the gate open during the day?
It was open during the day.
Okay.
It was 10:35 a.m.
Was it on Friday?
Last week, Friday, I believe it was.
It's trashed.
Uh-huh.
Are you talking about that new gate?
Because they don't have it open, they can't come
in. No, the one I'm pointing over by, I call it the bus barn.
Do they call, mm-hmm. do the trash men call us now?
I need to find
the
out.
Dumpsters outside.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we could put the dumpsters outside.
Okay, I'm going to take a note here.
That's just more of a pain in the butt.
Trash.
Except the trash man.
Okay. Well, no, not really. Not really, because Martin will haul the trash in the truck.
But the bad thing is you'll have the public putting trash in there.
Yeah, it'd be cool.
Does that anyway, doesn't it?
No, they can't get in the gate now. Everything's locked up now.
Everything
back. I ain't been back there.
You can't
there's
get through there.
There's a sliding gate mm-hmm. at the end of the new gym.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have a code to get in.
Mm-hmm. I probably need that code. We have a fire.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's true. The fire department probably does need that code.
Okay, I'm going to add that.
The animal service needs it too.
It's code two.
I'm glad we discussed that.
If you don't want your gate broken,
mm-hmm.
right.
Oh,
that's right. Because if there was a major fire back there, you wouldn't.
The last time that I was at the school for a fire, it was above the weight room in the old gym. And that's been a long time ago.
Right.
And it ended up not, it was actually a fire, but it had snuffed itself out.
Mm, thank goodness.
That faulty electrical.
Okay, I added that to the notes. Can y'all think of anyone else that would need that besides the fire department, the sheriff's department, mm-hmm. the ambulance service?
That should be it. That should be it.
Okay.
And that'll get you just that way. Will get you all the way to the bus barn.
Yes.
It will let you in all the way through. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then going out, it auto detects, but going in is the issue. Mm-hmm.
Well, what about the gate that comes, that north gate to the bus barn? Can
what?
It be
you have
unlocked?
To have a key. To
you have to have a key.
It's a key.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if the keypad would accept multiple codes.
I will inquire.
Then the emergency people would have a code, and then y'all would have your own code.
Mm-hmm.
And you wouldn't have to worry about the code getting out.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
mm-hmm. we do live in a small town.
That's a good question. I'll inquire. I will have the answer by the time we meet again for sure. But we'll have access before then in case something happens between now and the November meeting.
Mm-hmm.
It's perfect. Okay, the other thing on the agenda, it says Crisis Go replace the Stop It app for bully reporting. That is also a state requirement. The students are supposed to be able to anonymously report bullying. Of course, they can come in and tell. There are also forms in the office. There's a form linked online, but it's not as anonymous if you were able to do it from your own device. And so all the students on their Chromebook should be able to access the app. Have you seen, is that the case? I did mention it again for 2 days on the announcements, just to remind them. Did y'all go through that at all? Do you know?
What do you mean?
Have you had the chance to open it up and see?
I mean, I have, but you'd have to individually go on there.
Sure.
Any discussion about it.
Did you think it seemed easy to access? You knew how to access it?
I thought so.
Any pointers or things we should do? No, nothing you can think of? The nice thing about the Stop It app, and then the same thing with the Crisis Go app, we like Crisis Go because it's the same emergency management app that we're using on our phones in the event of a fire drill, a lockdown, anything like that. So now all of our info is stored in one spot. it does alert us if somebody, like an administrator, if some student or anybody were to use it, but it really is anonymous. It doesn't give me an IP address. It doesn't give me anything. It just comes through and it says you have a pending notification, and then it requires you to mark it. This has been not founded, or there. What were your actions, so that there's a record to
it.
They
don't put their name on it.
They don't. They can. It's optional, but they don't have to. So it's truly anonymous. The only.
But they don't have access to any of those. What does crisis go where they could report a. What's
a gunman
it called?
Or the.
No.
You know
no,
what I'm saying?
No.
On my crime. Well, I can't.
No, they can't get into that one.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Okay.
No, it's a separate portion
okay.
of that. Yeah. They can't do that. Really, all that it is, it looks just like the bully report form that's online. Where did the incident happen? When did it happen? Who was involved? Can you explain more? If the student does not give very thorough details, it can be hard to follow up on, like anything, especially because you're having to try to back and forth correspond. But it's what we have.
Yeah.
It's what we have. We have had no instances this year to date of anybody using that app or reporting bullying over the app. Okay. Any other questions about the safety and security feature? We still have an active guardian program here. Anybody?
Yeah, I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
I want to know what safe storage of firearms.
Oh.
What, they're not going to be stored.
Well, here's what we shared. So
does that make sense?
Texas is one of the only states where we don't have a law that tells you how you have to store it. But we have to inform you that you need to keep it out of the hands of their youth.
Oh, okay. So this is for parents, not you storing them at school.
No, that's
oh,
no.
I thought you were going to store a firearm. Why would you store a firearm at school?
No, that's to remind parents
okay.
to keep their firearms stored away safely out of the reach of kids. That is all that's on the agenda. Is there any new business that I can add to the SHAC agenda coming up November the 15th? Things that y'all would like us to discuss and cover?
I don't know that it's necessarily pertaining to that, but I like the Class Dojo app,
mm-hmm.
but I think that teachers use it too much. Quit sending me home study guides so I can study on my phone. Send me home a piece of paper that I can sit down with my kid and actually look, go over it. We have a test next Monday. Here's the study material. I'm like.
They do send you papers
because,
and.
No, not for that. Not the stuff I've gotten.
You must have not got the papers the papers.
No, I haven't gotten them.
And
I've already told him, make sure he's getting his stuff home, because I've had him through the week, at the beginning of the week, and he never has anything in his folder.
Third grade's a lot harder now. They're switching classes, and they got to remember to get it out of their science folder and put it in their homework folder, and I don't think they've caught on yet.
At some point, the teachers have got to go and, like, look, everybody get your science stuff and put it in your homework folder.
Right.
I mean... But a lot of that stuff gets sent home on that Dojo app, which is good. I like that. But I like to be able to study right here.
Right. Yeah, because it's hard to study on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then, they want to play games and everything else. But no, that's really the only thing.
So really what I think I heard was discuss the Class Dojo app and its usage with faculty. It may be being used too frequently for things that could be sent home with paper, like study guides.
So
that it's
not
oversaturation.
To me, being able to look at it and see it and feel it and learn it is better than looking at a phone.
And playing devil's advocate, some kids never make it home with paper, and so they're covering
right.
their bases
mm-hmm.
with
yes,
at least
they are.
A digital
Well, I don't know if it's getting home paper. I haven't seen any papers, so.
So that may vary.
Could be my kid's fault.
I will follow through.
But I'm sure I'm not the only one
that
feels that way.
You're not, and then there's other parents that like the other, so.
Yeah. Anything y'all want us to discuss? If you look at the vision and mission statement, it's pretty self-explanatory. Our purpose and vision and mission is to help kids develop skills and knowledge to help them lead a healthy, productive life. It's help them make safe and healthy decisions. So if there's anything you can think of kind of along these agenda lines, anything like that, we can always bring it to the committee. We'll try to give updates again next time. I can kind of keep you up to date as far as the vaping issue. If we're seeing an increase, decrease, I can keep you updated on if there's any new curriculum updates. Our curriculum is set, and so there was just no updates there. Safety and security, I can give y'all stats on those sorts of things. If you end up having new business or anything you want to share to go on it, our next meeting will be November 15th. And just a reminder that in order for us to discuss it in the meeting, be sure and just get it to me at least 72 hours before the meeting, before I post the agenda. Then we can. Is 4 o'clock good for y'all? Was this okay?
That was perfect for me.
Okay, so November 15th, library, 4 o'clock. Okay, and if you can think of any student needs or things you would like us to discuss on student perspective, be sure and bring them to us. Okay, well, the time is 4:44, and I will call the meeting adjourned.